Greetings, everyone. I would like to start off by saying thank you for allowing us into your lives every week. Welcome to the Family Healing Breaking Cycles Podcast, your one-stop shop to life, love, and family. Every week, we will touch on real-life topics from a family's perspective, of course. I am a family healing motivational coach, a mother of four, two kings, and two queens. I'm also a sister mom of two kings and a grandmother of three and an auntie of two as well. As you will see, the more time we spend together, we have a unique family dynamic. The topics that we discuss are things that have made impacts on our family. And as we share our experiences, we hope to help other families break cycles as well. Let's get started.
Welcome back, family. I'm Tamika. I'm your host. I'm here with my co-host, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Welcome back, family. I'm the oldest child, Rynell, but you can call me Nell.
Welcome back. I'm the youngest daughter, Jasmine, but you can call me Jazz.
Nettie! Family, I want to start off with contact information. Our Instagram is FHBCP_. And our Facebook page is Family Healing Breaking Cycles. Podcast or not podcast, and our email is familyhealingbreakingcycles78@yahoo.com, and those are just some ways that you can contact us if you ever need us for anything. Feedback, criticism, we accept it all. So today's episode is Parents, We Have to Do Better. Our children are slipping through the cracks. And in other words, as a child, do they see us? Meaning, do the adults because you have grandparents, aunties, uncles, cousins, all types of people that are raising children that aren't the biological parents. So the bottom line is, do they see us? Meaning the adults in a situation that are responsible for the mental and physical well-being of a child. Now, what prompted this episode for me was, there are a lot of things that go on in the media that, you know, especially with social media, and you have all these different outlets. Soon as something happens, everyone jumps on it, gives their opinion, while, you know, strike the iron while it's hot. For me, some things, they hit deep, and I just don't strike the iron while it's hot, because I'm an empath, first of all. So I really do feel things when people go through things. I don't have to be close to you. I don't have to know you. You don't have to be my family member, my child, or anything like that. I'm going to feel it because that's what an empath does. So it will take, if it depending on how deep it cuts, it's going to take me a while before I can speak on it, because I have to process it. And after I process it, then I have to figure out my emotions about it and all those different things. And it might take me a week after the story hit, or two, or whatever the case is. But this is a story that needs to be ringing in everyone's ear until justice is done. Now, at this point, I have done some research and I haven't seen anything where justice has been done, but I'm sure things are in the works and they just aren't releasing anything until everything unfolds correctly, which I understand because it's a very sensitive topic. About the the little boy that had been assaulted on the school bus for months by a child older than him. And no one knew about it. And the only reason it came forth was because his book bag was missing and his mother contacted the school to see if they could look at the cameras that are on the school bus to see where his backpack might be. And upon their investigation of this footage, they saw that the little boy had been assaulted, was being assaulted for a certain length of time. Now, from what I know, from the information that you know, which is a good source of information because it's out of the mother's mouth and it has been on the news, and I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. You know, it had been going on for months. It was from the footage, and also the bus driver said, you know, that they thought that they were just fighting. It was going on for a while because there were plenty of times where the bus had to stop and say, "Stop it back there, stop fighting," whatever the case is. So basically, this little boy, and 6-year-old I think he is, and I think the other boy was 12 years old. Now, I can't process it. I can't, you know, wrap my head around it. And I know it's the world that we live in, unfortunately, because upon the investigation of this story, I just started stumbling upon so many different stories of different children that had been assaulted on school buses and so on and so forth. And I'm saying to myself, is this the common, is this the nature of the beast? Is this the common behavior of what's going on? And this is why this episode, Do They See Us? And parents, we have to do better because our children are slipping through the cracks. Because one, at that age, at 6 years old, and I'm sure there were, you know, the mom was very transparent and she said, you know, she noticed that he was acting different, but she just thought he was, you know, acting up in school. She didn't know what it was. She felt like she failed her son because she took away, you know, his privileges because he was being bad at school. And for the other child that was the aggressor in the situation, you know, what was going through his mind? What has he been through to think that this was okay? Now, I want to say everything is taught. Everything is taught. I don't care what anybody says. If you have a child, you are responsible for teaching them the fundamentals of life. You have this, okay, let's just talk about the mother. And let's talk about couples in general. Most of the time, the woman's pregnant, if she's married, you know, engaged, has a boyfriend, whatever, and it's a relationship, and he's around during the pregnancy, he's rubbing the stomach, he's talking to the stomach, he's there during the pregnancy. So we're going to say from the time the baby is in the womb, you are teaching. Now, out of the womb, you are definitely teaching. So you are responsible for what's taught. Everything is taught. Now, I'm not saying that anyone is teaching their child to be an abuser. What I'm saying is something went wrong somewhere. Something, you know, the child slipped through the cracks somewhere. Something might have happened to that child that parent didn't know about, which caused that child to turn around and think this is how you're supposed to behave. This is what you're supposed to do. So, yes, slipping through the cracks. Do they see us? Meaning, do you see them? Is your life that busy? Is your life that hectic? Maybe you've been through things. Maybe you don't know the signs. These are all generational things that we have to work on in our families because none of it is normal. None of it is okay. If you have a young child, you don't notice that they're acting different. You don't notice that they're physically changing, mentally changing. Things are going on. Are we that busy in our lives? This is what I do. They see us. This is what the children are saying. Do they see us? There's no way in any either side of it that there weren't any signs of trauma or signs of anything. Now, I don't know the full story. The full story isn't out. I don't know if this young person is in therapy. I don't know if this young person always had a problem. I don't know any of it because not enough information is out yet. I just know, do they see us? This is why fathers are very important and mothers are very important as well. But definitely fathers in a healthy way. Because if you have a father that's unhealthy and toxic, you might as well just not have one. Because he's just going to teach you his unhealthy, toxic ways. So I'm not talking about that situation. I'm talking about a situation where it's healthy. It's not toxic. You can teach this young boy to be a man in the most healthy way possible that you know how. It is very important. It is very important for the little girls to see her father, to see her father figure, to show her what she's worth, to show her how she should be treated. It is very important. These young men are out here doing unspeakable things. And it's not okay. It's not okay. So I just want to get into some signs that you may look for in your child that may show that something is going on in, you know, whichever way. Did any of you want to speak on the story itself or no?
Well, me personally, I don't know much about the story.
Yeah, nobody does except for what you can get offline.
So, you know, pretty much.
Or the news clippings.
This topic is the first time I have heard of it because I really don't watch the news. But me as a parent, you know, I feel like I could, you know, of course I can do better. You assume if you sit down with your child and you know, you tell them this shouldn't happen to you. If somebody do this, no matter who it is, make sure you tell me. You think that conversation is enough.
Right. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really not.
Right.
Because if it happens, they may not still tell you. Regardless of you assuming I talked to you.
You're right.
I told you this is what you should do, but the person who's doing the act could be telling them something. If you tell somebody, I'm going to kill your mom and dad.
Right.
So that child don't want that to happen. So it's so many things. So it's hard to try to gauge what's going on. I would just say push it more than you should. You know, sometimes you don't want to push certain situations too much to kids nowadays. Just the way the society is. But when it comes to certain things, you want to constantly keep talking about it or push them. You know, even if you notice something wrong. And you say what's wrong, and they say nothing. Go with your gut. Something is wrong.
Right.
So at that point, you got to push and figure out what's going on. Just don't take their word for it because they could be scared to tell you due to whoever the person is saying they're going to harm you and they trying to save you from harm's way.
Right.
So that's the only way I can look at it because it's not easy. It is being a parent nowadays the way.
Right.
Society is.
And I don't like what you just said with the, if anybody, like, which is the most common, if anybody ever touch you, you know, that is the most common scenario. But I think even with that, like you said, it's so hard to be a parent now with today's society and social media and all that kind of stuff. I think that the conversation has to go, it has to be consistent. And it has to be repetitive. And then even if you have to go so far as to maybe, you know, watch video clips, movies, read books. Like, sometimes you have to, and it's hard with our busy lives. I get it. And it's just like one extra thing that we have to do. But I would rather be proactive about it. So even if, you know, and it's not going to be, it's not something where you can have just one conversation and it's over. You might be able to say, and this is why, if you show them this clipping, this is why I say to you, if something ever happened, tell me. Sometimes, and we don't do, we, in my generation, I know, and I didn't do it with y'all. It was just that one sentence. Like, it was no a showing. Sometimes you need visuals, and it has to be consistent, and it has to be repetitive. I never did any of that. I could sit here and say that. I know I didn't. Moving forward, of course, because I have grandkids and stuff, it would make sense. But you have to do the visual. You have to be diligent. You have to be consistent about it. And even if you, you know, this is what abusers say to their victims. They'll tell you that they're going to kill me and your mom. But I assure you that that's not the truth. You can say it the one time and think they got it. No, it's something that has to be repetitive, because remember, they're children. They have to feel comfortable to listen and to understand what you're saying. So I really do think that more visuals and more education, as opposed to this one sentence, if anybody ever touched you, you know you better tell me, right? Mm-hmm. No, you have to go 10 steps further and educate. Just like how they educate about everything else in school, and you go to school every day for 7 hours a day, and it's repetitive, and then you have a something that's repetitive for 4 weeks, and then you have this test on what you learned for the 4 weeks. These things have to be just as diligent and just as repetitive, so children can understand that this is wrong. This is not supposed to happen to you. And some signs so you'll know if your child may be going through things, or you're a teenager. If they have withdrawal from friends and usual activities, changes in behaviors like aggression and anger, hostility, hyperactivity, school performance. And I think the main things are always school performance and like aggression and anger. Like, they more angry, you know, they're acting up in school, especially like when you're not around because you're the parent. Don't do this. If somebody ever, you're more like the disciplinarian, so it's harder. So if anybody ever touch you, you better tell. And, you know, you're the disciplinarian at home. It's like, once a child is out of your sight at school or wherever, they can act out. They know that the principal or the teacher is going to call, but in that moment, I'm not thinking further enough that you're going to call and tell my parent. I'm only knowing this moment I'm acting out, and I can because my parent is not around. So I think those are the most common things. Also, depression, anxiety can develop. They might start to have unusual fears, like maybe they never were scared of the dark before. Now they're scared of the dark. Or they were never scared of a school bus before. Like, now when you say, get ready to get on the school, the bus is coming, hurry up, and they start crying or procrastinating, or they're not dressed on time anymore when they normally dress by 8, down, eating a Pop-Tart, watching the cartoons before the bus comes, and now all of a sudden they coming down later and later, they don't want the Pop-Tart anymore, and they, you know, you think that they just don't want to go to school. You have to pay attention to these things. Yes, children are mischievous and they do things, don't want to go to school, but you know your child. You know when it's different, and you know when patterns have changed. And with our busy lives, I get it. You have multiple children. They all different school ages. The mornings are hectic. You're getting lunches together. You're getting breakfast together. You're getting yourself together. Coffee for the hubby together, whatever. And the mornings are hectic, and you just don't have time to sit and say, what is wrong with you? Hurry up. You're not even dressed in the bus is about to come. I get it, but you don't have a choice at this point but to slow down and figure it out. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. No excuses. There's nothing that I'm going to sit here and say that I'm going to give you a pass on it. You get no pass. You have to make it work like you make everything else work. It's important. It's just what it is. It's not one of them things where it's like, oh, well, I get it. Your morning's ahead. No, I'm sorry. Figure it out. I don't know. You got a big old board now with a bunch of red and white and different colored dots on it about whose turn is it to do dishes and Jimmy's football practice and Lacey's hockey practice and all of that. You could do all that stuff. Taco, you know, Tuesdays is taco night and Mondays is meatloaf night and Wednesdays is wings and fries. Then, okay. I'm serious. So serious. It's like, it's too much. Like, enough is enough. Enough is enough. And sudden loss of confidence. This is when the innocence gets taken away. Like the spirit is broken, the light is dimmed, and it's just, you know. And a lot of children sometimes are very confident when you think about it. Some children, they have a lot of pride and they, you know, can be a little cocky and confident about things. You know, the bottom line is, you know your child. You know when they've changed. You know when they've changed. You know your child. All I'm saying is pay attention and start implementing things, putting things in place to be proactive so you don't have to get to the point where something has happened and you don't know if they know how to react. No, we want to get to the point where if something is going to happen, that they know how to react and they're going to run and tell you. Not that it happened and now it's been going on for a long period of time and the child is damaged and broken and all this stuff and you find out some kind of way, now they ruined for the rest of their life. No, you want to start putting things in place now. So yes, it'll be a horrible thing if something ever was about to happen or almost happened wherever and your child comes to you and say, oh, when I went to Uncle Donnie's house and you left me there, he tried to touch me, but I kicked him and I told him I was going to tell you. No, nobody wants that. But that's worse than every single time you done dropped him off Uncle Donnie's house. He'd been going to Uncle Donnie's the whole summer for 2 years and it's been going on. So be proactive about this education. This is an education piece. We do everything else, vision boards, all this kind of stuff, everything else, but we can't be diligent about things like this. This is sickening to me. It's just sickening to me. It should never happen. I challenge everybody to look things up. Go on YouTube and type in child assaulted on school bus and you're going to see different children in different cities, in different states, multiple times. It's sickening at this point. You mean to tell me all these kids was in the wrong place at the wrong time and they were taught and educated about what to do or what not to do? I think not. They slipped through the cracks. Do they see us? No, they didn't. You were done wrong. Somebody has forgotten about you and I'm sorry and it's sad and we're going to do better as adults. And also if your child starts to have sleeping problems and nightmares. And some tips to help create this environment, this educational environment. Work on trust by listening and not judging. I know it's hard with our kids sometimes. But you have to create an atmosphere where they can come and be honest about any and everything, and you're going to listen and you're not going to judge and you take it from there. We can't create these hostile environments where our kids don't trust us with anything. I know it's hard, but you find a way for your family. Find a way to figure it out. Everybody's family is different and learning curves and all that kind of stuff and time. But you have to figure it out for your own family. And honesty. If they ask you a question, be honest about it. And you have to, this is not something that happens overnight. This is something that has to be repetitive and consistent. Remember that. Repetitive and consistent. Consistency is the key. You can't do it for a week then stop. You can find fun ways to do things, fun facts, puzzles, I don't know, video, I don't know, have movie night. You got movie night every other Friday with some kind of movie that you picked out. Have movie night looking at some educational piece or something. I don't know, figure it out. Practice what you preach, all that. Don't do what you see me do. Don't do as I do as I say. Who came up with that and thought that was going to work? Absolutely not. They're going to do as you do. They're children. They're impressionable. Most things that they do are by what they see and repetitiveness. So all that don't do as I do as what? Absolutely not. You have to practice what you preach. They have to see. They have to see from you that you're in it to win it. That you're in it for them. That you have their back. And demonstrate healthy behavior, regardless of what that looks like for your family. So if you're in a relationship with someone that you shouldn't be with, and you're arguing all the time, or you being abused, or you being in any kind of way, verbally, mentally, physically, you shouldn't be in it because your child is watching it. You have to demonstrate healthy behavior. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be hard to do because you don't even know what to do because you've been in toxic situations your whole life. So how you going to know what to do? That's why this is hard. But you have to make that, you have to make that extra step for your life and in your child's life. You can sit there all day in park, all day long for months and months and years in park. You have to put your foot on the gas to gain momentum. Once you put your foot on the gas and get started, then you can go from there. If you never put your foot on the gas, you're going to always be in park. It has to start somewhere. Start that car up and put your foot on the gas and gain some momentum and take it from there. And create a healthy, non-hostile environment. And I just gave you a bunch of tips on how to do that. No excuses. That's it. I'm like, no excuses. Hey, I'm talking to you. Sorry, not sorry. I don't care. Like, normally I try to be all nicey-nicey and it's not your fault and you've been through stuff too and you don't know how and this is, all right. You right. Yeah, all that's true too, but enough is enough already. Save the pity party for later. Learn how to do better and fix it. Period. That's it. It's too much. This is why I can't jump on bandwagons. I can't. I see them. I see all these stories and stuff like that. And I know all these other podcasts and news people and whoever, they on it. They talking about it. They'll talk about it for as long as they can talk about it till the next best thing come. It's always that way. I just never was that person. I'm not changing that. I'm going to talk about it when I'm ready to talk about it. Anybody had anything they wanted to add to that?
Yeah, just real quickly. And I'm, of course, speaking off experience. If you feel like your child has an imaginative mind, and you, like you said, you know, you should know your kids. So, you know, often, you know, my son, you know, he had these elaborate stories that he just tell. Now, you know, of course, you know, luckily it's not nothing bad, but he just like
to you talk. See that something is, yeah, it could turn into something.
Yeah, he likes to talk, and you know, sometimes, you know, I'm guilty of it. It's like more of, all right, you know, get to the point. Like, you know, you're taking too long to get around.
Right.
You know, and luckily it's not nothing bad, but I'm just saying to say because. You know, and then sometimes, and then he might, especially when it comes to homework, you know, I ask him when you get home, what's for homework? Oh, well, you know, X, Y, and Z, or, you know, they do reading log sheets. And then, like, the one time, there's a couple of times I actually had to call him and apologize because he was right about something.
Mm.
I don't have no
But issue you did call and apologize.
I don't have no issue.
Good. I try to teach him. See, that's starting. Yes, that is what I mean. Things like that, starting to create a healthy non-hostile environment with trust and everything. He sees now when my dad is wrong, he apologizes to me. This is behavior from a father to a son that's being taught. Everything is taught. So now when he, I'm just picking something out the hat, not that it happened. If he decides to lie about something, he might think twice. And then if he does, he's going to think twice and say, Dad, you know what? I'm sorry for lying about that. I shouldn't have did that. See, this is what I'm, man, you better go ahead. But go ahead, finish your story.
But like you said, like, do as I say. I can't tell him to, a lot of times he don't take accountability for things he do. I can't tell him to take accountability if he told me something and I didn't believe him, but then it wound up to be true. I have to apologize.
Right.
You know what? You was right. I apologize. You was right about what you
said. And that's you showing that I'm also able to take accountability.
You
have to.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I can't say take accountability and then you told me something and I didn't believe you because it just didn't sound right.
Right.
But then I find out otherwise, I'm calling you right back. You know what? I apologize. Your teacher did say X, Y, right. Z.
Okay. You have but a lot to. Of people wouldn't do that either. They figure that's the child. I don't have to apologize to no child.
No, because everybody's different, but I always preach to him to take accountability, which a lot of times he don't do.
Which as a man, once he gets your age, is going to be very important because that's the problem now. A lot of men don't take accountability for their actions.
Well, if I just always looked at it as I'm telling him to do something and if he telling me something he know for sure is right, and then I find out it is right, I have to tell him he was right.
I get that you do, but what I'm saying is a lot of people don't care. They're not doing it because they feel like they're a child. Why am I apologizing to a child?
You have to.
People feel like children don't deserve respect because they're children. That is the problem. Kids deserve respect too. That's what you need. Hello, I said it. Yep, children deserve respect too.
They have to, especially when if you are the parent that preach certain things, and if you're wrong about something, whatever the case is, you should, regardless of if you're the parent or not, it's going to show to them that you just not talking just to talk because you mom or dad.
Practice what you preach. It's possible. I know it is. But like I said, most grown-ups don't see it that way. They feel like they're a child. They don't owe the child anything. That they don't owe the child anything. I'm telling you, this is why a lot of things go on in a lot of these families. Because the children don't get respected. And things aren't being taught. Everything is taught. Racism is taught. Everything is taught. You were the one responsible for this child. How you think they learned what they... What? Huh? The ignorance. But continue on.
But yeah, it just... I've learned to... Like you said, like the... I guess the kids deserve the respect. That's what they need. And the way I try to preach to both of my kids, but especially my son, because he's a boy, so right. Certain things he has to learn, you know, as he get older. And some things, you know, have to be said, regardless of like when you go back, when you say, when you have certain conversations in, at some points, you got to get graphic of certain things of what you're talking about.
You do. It's a shame, but I'm sorry.
I recently had a conversation with him. And I normally don't get graphic with certain things, but the conversation we had, I had to, because it had to be a point that had to be proven.
Right.
Like, I'm not, if I tell you certain things, I'm not just saying it just to say it.
Right.
Because I'm dad. I'm saying it to say certain things because I see it or been through it.
Right.
So, if I give you a scenario that's true, these are the things that can happen if you don't do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And I'm not saying it just because I want to scare you or just say it. I have seen it or been through it. Either or. And everything I'm going to tell you right now is a true story.
Right.
Simple as that. So sometimes you got to get graphic. Much as you don't want to, you have to in order to prove a point that you're not just talking just to be talking because you parenting.
Absolutely. And that's what, and it's called education. That's what it is. It's an education piece. I mean, it's an education piece. Like, if you look at it like that, that's exactly what it is, an education piece. Was there anything else you had to add?
No, I'm good.
Did you want to add something, young lady?
No. Y'all hit everything on the nose, but I ain't even had to say nothing. That's not even the easy way out. I'm just saying for
real. Right. Now, normally, you do have your opinions on things, but if you quiet, it's normally because everything was spoken already. Mm-hmm. Right. You got a gym over there for us, sir?
Sure. I got something light. Why not?
Okay. All right.
Every ending is the beginning. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah, they had me stuck for a minute. Because my life had flashed before my eyes real quick. Because I wanted to see if it was true or not. And that's like one of them flip-flips. That's one of them flip-flips. But it's a true flip-flip.
That sounds like death.
Yeah, that was a true flip. Like an ending of something. Maybe something in your life, a career, a job, a relationship. But it was the beginning of a new job, a new career, a new relationship. You know what I mean? Every ending is a beginning. That's why I said my life flashed before my eyes because I wanted to think about all the endings. Was it really a beginning there? And a few of them it was. Family, I want to thank you for letting us into your lives, if only for a moment. You could have been anywhere. Definitely could have been anywhere. But you decided to stick in it with us and listen. And hopefully, we hit some valid points, and hopefully we made some families understand the importance of these conversations and these education pieces. That's all this is about. It's not about anything else. It's about the children, and it's about keeping them safe. And it really, for the most part, starts at home. No matter how much we don't want to believe it, I don't know if it's because we don't want to take on that responsibility, because life is hectic enough, we don't know what to do, we don't know where to turn. There are plenty ways to figure things out. Go to the library, get books, Google things, look up things on YouTube, listen to podcasts. There's all kinds of stuff. There's nothing wrong with being an adult and a parent and saying, I need help. I don't know what to do. That's take the pride out of the situation and look at the outcome and the importance of the work that you're trying to do. That's all it's about. It takes a village. We all have to live here together. And hopefully we can all, make this world a better place for our kids. And as always, talk to you soon.
Family Healing Breaking Cycles streams on your favorite app on Mondays at 12 p.m. Just add us to your favorites and you'll get alerts when new episodes stream on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and others. We would also like to thank our sponsors, KKP Vending. If you need a vending machine at your location, you could call them at 267-407-7678, and also Lounge 21 at 1639 South 21st Street, Philadelphia, PA 19145. And you can also follow them on Instagram at Lounge_21. And follow us on Facebook, Family Healing Breaking Cycles, and we would love to hear from you. Or you can also email us at familyhealingbreakingcycles78@yahoo.com. And don't forget to leave us a review in your favorite app as well.